Good morning. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, or did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, Insomuch as ye did it not unto the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Just by the way, for you of those that were here at the June meeting, unlike Steve, I didn't get this inspiration in the shower this morning. So my shower at home isn't evidently that spectacular for me. He said he got the inspiration for parts of his lesson in my shower, which in me is a scary thought anyway. But this came not in my shower this morning. If I were to give a title to this lesson, it would be called Journey Towards the Answer. The two scriptures I just read have an answer at the end of them. Two of the instances were negative. Depart from me, I know you not. The other one was, come into me. I forgot to write that. He invites the other ones into his kingdom because they did good things for him. Journey towards the answer. Being properly prepared. I want you to take a look at my family this morning and take a before picture. And when I come back in 2 weeks, take the after picture. Because we are preparing for a journey. We've taken a lot of trips in our time, but never farther than Indianapolis, Indiana. You know, and it's been a quick round trip. So we're supposed to look tired and haggard then. We're leaving tomorrow for a 2-week trip to Pennsylvania. We're going to touch, I think I counted this morning, 7 or 8 states in that journey that we're taking. We're driving the whole way there and back. Over 2,200 miles in 2 weeks and stopping to see things on the way. So we come back in 2 weeks, we may not have any hair on our heads. The kids may be thankful that they're back in Iowa. I may be thankful I'm back in Iowa. But all in all, we're preparing for the journey, we're preparing to have fun. But we won't have the answer to that until 2 weeks from now when we come home, if we had fun or not. But when Trent decided that we were going to go to Pennsylvania for his graduation trip, did we just decide, okay, we're going to go, and we're taking off tomorrow? No, there's been several months of preparation. I had to get time off from work. We had to make sure we had the money prepared. We had to make sure we had places to stay, which I have place to stay next weekend. I'm not sure between now and next weekend, because we're just going to kind of go until we want to stop, I think, a few times, which sounds like an old person would do, just take off driving and get tired and stop. So maybe I'm an old person now. Kids may not like it, but we're going to just drive several different places, stop, do some things, and then keep going. We only know we have to be in one place, and that's Hagerstown, Maryland, next Sunday. That's where our reservations for the next week are at, which is the whole point of the trip, going to that point in the country. But we just didn't decide to go, and we're going to take off tomorrow. There's been some preparation. I sent my car down to Missouri 2 weeks ago, had the oil changed in it, found out I had needed new tires, put two new tires on it, found out I needed new brakes, told the kids I ride the brakes too much, told Nathan he's riding the brakes, going to have to replace them. Ain't the fact's got 80,000 miles on, I blamed him for it. We got new brakes because I knew I was taking a trip. And I wasn't just going to take off with a car that I wasn't sure. Well, I'm sure the car would make it, but what condition it would be in was what I was questioning. We don't embark on a journey without a plan. Why are we here today? Because hopefully everybody sitting here has embarked on a journey towards heaven, a spiritual journey through eternity, a journey to spend the rest of our lives with Christ and with God in heaven. We are on a journey, but we don't do it without a plan, right? We just don't decide to wake up one morning and think, oh, well, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. No, it takes a journey to get us there. We have steps we have to take in order to get there. We know we have a home in heaven waiting for us if we only remain faithful. We find it in John chapter 14, starting in the first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Nothing more comforting when you start a journey than to know there's a destination for you when you get there. Christ tells us there is a mansion prepared for us, a home with Him in heaven. He's gone to prepare it. I know when I leave Des Moines, Iowa, that I'm going to run into a Motel 6 or a Ramada Inn or a Days Inn or something somewhere along the way. I'm trying to look at me if I say bed and breakfast and throw a book at me, so I'm not going to say bed and breakfast. I'm not that old yet, but those days are coming. Just Lisa and I walk around in the country when that happens. But I know there are places for me to stay. I'm not just going to take off and decide, oh, well, I'm going to drive and have to sleep in my car all the time. I know there are places for me to stay. Well, I know that if I remain faithful to Christ and God throughout my eternal journey, life, I will have a place prepared for me. I don't know where it's at. I don't know what it looks like. Well, I know it's in heaven. I don't know what it looks like, but I know it'll be more magnificent than anything I've ever seen. We are here today because we're preparing for a journey. When I decided to go to Pennsylvania, I had several things one to drew me. I'm kind of glad he said Pennsylvania. Maybe I pushed him a little bit on, I don't know, on some of it, but he's big time into history. Big time into ancient history. No, Civil War history. Big time into the old history of the wars and things like that. And that's the best place to go because that's where the Civil War was fought. It just happens that this is the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Battle. And so we're going to see that. I also have an interest there because that's where my grandfather and my father grew up. My grandfather lived and my father grew up. I'd like to go back and see if the old house is still standing. I don't think it is, but it brings back memories. I can't remember a lot in my life, but I can remember a lot of times going to that old house and spending 2 weeks there with Grandpa on vacations. And you could walk right down from his house and walk the train tracks for hours either direction and not have to worry about things. Or you could stand on his front yard and you could watch the coal trucks come rumbling down the hill at full speed and wonder if they're going to stop at the end of the T intersection because Grandpa's house is at the end of the T intersection. Well, they all got stopped when I was there at least. Now, I may get there and find out they haven't stopped since, but when I was there, they stopped. But I have to choose a path to get there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. In my eternal life, I have to choose a path to my walk with Christ. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And there many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there few there be that find it. So I have to choose a path in my spiritual life. I'm given two options. One of them is an easy path, no problems. One of them is a straight and a narrow path, which would be a little harder to navigate, but yet it's going to make me stronger for navigating it. I open up the atlas, And I can find any of about 45 different ways I can get from here to where I'm going. Some of them are wide open, four-lane highways, nice roads. If I wanted to be really aggravatable to them, I'd go up and jump on the Lincoln Highway up on Highway 30, and I'd take off cross-country. I'd probably have them all throwing me out of the car before I hit the Iowa state line, because they wouldn't get there quick enough. But I have an atlas that tells me I can get there however I want to do it. Well, I have an atlas, which is a Bible, that tells me I can get to heaven if I only try. It shows me many options in the atlas, but it only shows me one option in the Bible, and that is to follow Christ and to follow God, to take the right path as I go on my journey. I had to prepare for the journey. I'm not going to leave here tomorrow morning and expect to be 1,100 miles away from here by tomorrow night. It's not going to happen. I could be 1,100 miles away from here by this time tomorrow or the next day if I drove straight through, but I'm not going to do that either. So I prepare for the journey. I'm going to break it down, because by breaking it down, I'm going to alleviate the fatigue that will come from that journey. I'll alleviate the poor decisions that will be made during that journey, and I'll definitely alleviate the grouchiness that will come from that journey. Because if I sit my kids in the car, and I take off and I drive 1,100 miles one way without stopping, I'm going to have some grouchy people in the car, and I'm probably going to be the grouchiest of them. So I prepare for the journey. But you know what? I know that by Thursday morning or whatever, I'm going to be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Well, I hope I am, theoretically, if my car don't break down and all this other stuff don't happen. I'll be there. I know that there'll be an end to my journey as I go to Philadelphia. I also know there'll be an end to my Christian journey, my life living with Christ, or trying to live with Christ. I know that I need to prepare for my journey towards heaven, but what I don't know is when it's going to end. I have no idea when my journey is going to end. All I have to do is turn on the news every day, and I see journeys ending all the time. Open up the newspaper, I see journeys ending all the time. People's lives coming to an end. I have no idea when my earthly journey is going to end. And you know what? I know it's fraught with dangers also. I know there are going to be troubles during it. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us the devil seeks whom he may devour. I don't think as I travel this next 2 weeks, people are going to be looking to devour me. Okay? They're going to be looking weird at me sometimes, maybe, wondering what this Iowa guy is doing way out here in Philadelphia. But they're not going to be looking to devour me. But I have a devil that is following me that's looking to devour me every step of the way. He knows I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to live my life godly. And he's trying to throw all the stumbling blocks he can at me. He's looking to see who he may devour. And I'm a pretty tasty morsel for him, I think. He thinks if he can get his teeth in me, he'll have me. How do we avoid these temptations, these pitfalls? We look to Matthew chapter 7, starting in the 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We start with a good foundation. Foundation being built on God. I have two Alero cars in my family. One owned by Bruce, one owned by me, and Trent drives it. I wouldn't feel so confident getting either one of those cars and taking off for Pennsylvania. Because they're old cars. They got a lot of miles on them. And I don't maintain them as well as I do my other car. My foundation for my trip is built on the Ford Flex. And it's going to get me there. Well, my Christian foundation is built on Christ and on God, and that's a firm foundation. But in order to have that firm foundation, I need to keep building on it. Strongest foundation will only be a foundation if we build on it and we keep it strong. God's not going to quake and crack and all that. It's how I put my foundation. Sometimes I decide, well, I don't need necessarily need all that good foundation underneath me. I'm going to go over here a little bit. And so I go to build on a different foundation. And that foundation isn't built on God. And so I start to stumble. And how do we do that? How do we build a strong foundation? We have vigilance. We stick with it. How vigilant would we be in school if we never studied? You can graduate, but how much are you going to know? How successful would we be at work without training? Well, we're going to get our job done, but we're not going to be that successful at it. We're just going to be an employee at that point in time. We're not going to be an excellent employee. So I need to study. I need to say prayers. I need to pray. There may be a lot of praying done the next 2 weeks in my family. Probably because I'll be behind a wheel a lot in strange territories. But there'll be a lot of praying going on, I'm sure. Because we'll be testing each other's patience and each other's stamina. Well, I need to do the same thing as Satan, as the devil tries to devour me. I need to say a lot of prayers and be vigilant. We need to ask for help. I can guarantee somewhere along the way in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to get lost. And I'm going to drive in circles. And I'm going to find where I'm going eventually. But I'm going to hear everybody saying, why don't you stop at the gas station and ask? Men don't stop at gas stations and ask. Well, maybe they do now. I don't know. I don't stop at gas stations and ask. In my career at Goodwin Tucker, I think twice I've stopped at a gas station and asked where I had to be in a town. And that's only because I thought, well, I'm driving around this town enough times, they're going to probably call the cops on me because they're wondering what this guy's doing driving around this small town. But they just don't ask for directions. Well, I think that's where we get in trouble sometimes is we don't ask God for directions. We think we can do it on our own. Matthew chapter 8, starting in the 18th verse, tells us we are not guaranteed of a safe journey, but with Christ, we're guaranteed to get through our journey. Matthew chapter 8, starting in the 18th verse. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Just because we come to Christ isn't a guarantee of a smooth journey. It'll be as smooth as we can have as a journey, but it's not guaranteed to be a smooth journey because we leave a lot of baggage behind when we come to Christ. I'm leaving a lot of things behind when I go on vacation for 2 weeks, but my mind's always going to be thinking about Goodwin Tucker and the things that are happening at Goodwin Tucker, and is somebody going back to finish a job I did this last week? You know, did I mess something up? Is people getting mad at me? So it's not guaranteed to be a smooth journey on my trip either. And it's not guaranteed in our walk with Christ to be a smooth journey because we leave a lot of baggage behind. We leave a lot of things when we come to serve Christ. We leave family. We leave comforts. Christ tells them, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I have no place to lay my head. We need to be willing to be uncomfortable to serve Christ. Not to be negative, but we need to be willing to be uncomfortable to serve Christ. But yet he tells us we're not on our own. You know, these people were in a boat, and they were convinced they were dying. This boat was going down. But Christ rebuked the wind, and it was calm. So Christ will rebuke the wind, and our lives will be calm if we will only ask him to help us. He'll deliver us safely through. If you haven't noticed, I've spent a lot of time in Matthew this morning. You're not having to do a lot of flipping. starting in Matthew chapter 16, starting in the 24th verse. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." You know, I could have jumped on an airplane tomorrow morning and been in Philadelphia in 3 hours, which would have made my wife and my youngest son just tickled to death. But I won the argument. We're driving. Because you don't see nothing but air. Airplanes don't stop at Walmart. Cars do. That's just joking there, but we won't stop. We'll stop at least one Walmart. But you can see things when you're on the ground. Okay? But I have to realize it's going to be a long journey. It's not something that's going to accomplish right away. It's not going to just happen. I'm not going to start my car in Des Moines, Iowa, and blink and be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There's going to be a lot of travel between here and there. So I need to realize in my Christian walk that it is a long journey, and we have to remain steadfast in our commitment to arrive with Christ. Okay? We need to be ready and willing to realize that we're not going to profit everything if we're going to serve for Christ. But we also need to realize that he warns us, there will be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We need to realize it's a long journey and not stop the journey somewhere in the middle and decide, I got time to wait. I can wait a little bit. I'll come back later. Because that's not what he's looking for. He tells us when it's the Son, he tells us that if we try to save our lives, we'll lose it for his for our sake, we'll lose it for his. But you know what? I'm not doing it alone in my Christian journey. I'm not going by myself. There have been a lot of people before me that have gone. People that I know, people that I've seen, people that I've heard about have made the journey through this life and remained faithful till the end. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in the 32nd verse. At the end of the entire faith chapter about the ones that were faithful and what they did. Hebrews 11, starting in the 32nd verse. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed vigilant in fight, turned to the fight the armies of the aliens. Whom received their dead? Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others were captured, tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. After all, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. We have a book that's full of examples of people that remained faithful to the end. They stumbled sometimes, but they remained faithful to the end and received a good report. David had his up and down moments. Jonah had his up and down moments. Everybody had their up and down moments. But we have numerous examples in the Scriptures of people that remain faithful. When Abraham started the journey up the mountain to sacrifice his son, did he know what the outcome was going to be? Well, he knew there was going to be one outcome. Somebody was going to be dead. Did he stop? Did he not continue on? No, he continued on. He was faithful till the end. And that end was God delivered his son from his hand and gave him another sacrifice to offer, a goat. When the three men were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace, did they back down? Nope. 1,000 people are saying, throw them in. Cook them. The king's saying, throw them in. Let's cook them. They didn't back down. They remained faithful to the end. And the end was God delivered them from the fiery furnace. Jonah tried to turn away. Some people have tried to turn away. Jonah was told by God to go somewhere. Jonah decided, that might be just a little bit more than I want to bite off, more to bite off than I want to chew. I think that's how the phrase goes. Bit off a little more than I can chew, that's how it goes. I think I might be biting off a little more than I can chew there. I think I'm going to go hide. Well, found out you can't hide from God. Get in the deepest part of the boat, God can see you. Because God turned him around. Took nearly losing his life, but God turned him around. God will need to turn. God turns me around. Realizes I need to nearly lose my life to be turned around. Because that's what I have to do. I have to nearly lose my life. Because God says there's only two ways. There's my way or there's the dead way. And if you don't go my way, you've lost your life. You will be eternally lost. If you come with me, I will deliver you and I will save you. Many have done it before me, and I have the best roadmap to follow, the Bible. And I have the support of my spiritual family. I may lose the support of my physical family halfway through the trip, but I'll never lose the support of my spiritual family in my journey to Christ and to eternity with Him in heaven. Well, I hope I don't ever lose my spiritual family. I hope they're always here for me. I am not alone on my quest. Matthew chapter 11, starting the 28th verse. Matthew chapter 11, starting the 28th verse. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Nothing more comforting on a dark, dreary night. Power's out in the house. Child's laying there in bed, quivering and shaking. Lightning going off. Loud noises. Nothing more comforting than to hear the parent's voice say, "It'll be okay. I'm coming with a flashlight or I'm coming with a candle." How much more comforting is it to know that Christ is there for us? And he says, no matter how bad it gets, come to me and I'll help you take care of the problems. Take my yoke upon you and I'll carry the burden for you. I'll help you along. It won't be easy, but we'll get through it. Because Christ got through it for us, previous to us even trying it. Christ came and took care of the whole situation years ago when he came and lived on this earth and proved to us that you can live faithfully in this world and be a perfect person. But he knows we're not perfect people, so he does give us the opportunity for him to give him our burden, and he'll help us through it. You know what? I know that in 14 days or so my vacation is going to be over. I probably won't accomplish all the goals I want to accomplish. We have maybe half a dozen things we want to try to do. We may not get to all of them. I want to see the horseshoe curve. I'm not sure it's going to happen. I would like to go see Shanksville, see where the airplane crashed. I'm not sure that's going to happen. I'd like to go to Hershey. I know that's going to happen because I'm going to bring me some chocolate home. But I don't care anything about history. Chocolate made history right there. You know, without chocolate, I don't think this history would have happened. You know, you got to have chocolate. Just joking all aside there. But I will get to Hershey. That's the one thing I will get to. Because I want a piece of chocolate. I've lived my whole life wanting to get to Hershey. When I used to go see Grandpa out in Pennsylvania, we never got to go to Hershey. I'm going to Hershey. But I won't accomplish all of them. I'll probably be disappointed. But you know what? I'll get over it. Matthew chapter 24, starting in the 36th verse. Matthew chapter 24, And I've already read that. I forgot I threw that at the top of my lesson too. That is the example I read earlier of the sheep and the goats. But you know what? We know, and I know, I can't deny it, there's going to come a time where my journey on this earth will end. And I will have to face that eternal answer. When God looks at me and Christ looks at me and says, come over here and sit here, or go over there. We know it'll happen. It happened to the rich man Lazarus. The rich man was told, there is a place you're going to go if you don't follow me. And the bad thing about it is, I don't know what it's going to be like. I haven't studied heaven and hell enough. But it's going to be an awful bad thing if I can sit in hell and watch what's going on in heaven and realize the great joy that they're having in heaven. And I think that, I almost think that that could happen. You know, we're going to be in torment. What other torment other than burning in hell would there be than to see what I could have had? What I could have had. How much torture was it for the rich man when he could see Lazarus in comfort and him in torture? So we're to be constantly ready and acting on our faith. We are always to be striving to serve God. I've got to get my notes together here. I had a couple different pages I added here. Yeah, missed up on that one. No, I didn't. Matthew chapter 19, starting the 16th verse. Sorry. Matthew chapter 19, starting the 16th verse. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We will come to the end of our heavenly journey, our journey towards heaven, someday. Question is, will we have joy or sadness on that day? And that joy or sadness will come from where our possessions were lying as we walked on this earth. But Lord, I didn't do anything wrong. I lived a good life, but yet I wasn't willing to get rid of everything in my life and serve Him. So I'll go away sorrowful. This man went away sorrowful because he wasn't willing to give up all for Christ. I can look at that list and I say, I've never done a lot of those things. I've done some stupid things in my life, but I've never done those things. But yet, I still wouldn't be perfect without Christ. I have to be willing to go and sell all that I have and come and have treasure in heaven and follow Him. I need to be willing to give up Doug Fiorentine for Christ. I need to be willing to start my journey with Him. All journeys have a starting point and all journeys have an ending point. My journey tomorrow starts in Vandalia, Iowa and ends in Vandalia, Iowa sometime 2 weeks later. My eternal journey starts when I accept Christ into my life. When I accept His baptism, when I confess my wrongs, when I'm baptized into His death and brought up into eternal life with Him as I start my heavenly journey. That's the only way to start it. We won't be grandfathered in. Just because Mommy and Daddy were in the church, you know, used to hear about the old factory workers. You know, Dad worked in the factory for, it's a coal mine thing, you know. Grandpa, great-grandpa worked in a coal mine in Pennsylvania or somewhere. Grandpa worked in the coal mine in Pennsylvania. Dad worked in the coal mine. Well, I ought to be in Pennsylvania working in a coal mine if that's the case. Because that's I'm just supposed to be grandfathered in. So I should be doing that. But we won't be grandfathered into heaven. Just because great-grandpa and grandma and dad and mom and everybody else was in the church or is in heaven doesn't mean I'm going to be there. I have to make the decision. None of them are going to pull me along with them to heaven. You hear about the coattails during elections. You know, if the president is going to win, a lot of guys are going to get on the coattails. There's nobody's coattails except Christ is going to get me into heaven. I have to accept him. So as we conclude this morning, we're asked to examine ourselves. We're realizing that probably most of us sitting here today have started our eternal journey with Christ. Not eternal journey. Our journey towards eternity with Christ. I'm almost thinking we're all dead here, and we're not. Start your eternal journey means you're dead, I think. I don't like to think of the eternal journey until I'm dead. I think I start my journey towards eternity with Christ. And I think most of us sitting here this morning have done that. But yet we are subject to the same temptations and the same devil that's looking to devour us and eat us up. And if for some reason we have fallen away, or if we have not accepted Christ at the first point in our lives and become baptized into his eternal life, then we are given that opportunity as we stand and sing the closing song.